Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. My name is Emmett Mann. Rate, review, and subscribe. You can follow me on Twitter at Emmett_Mann if you'd like. Today, joining me, a very special guest, Brian Mackin. He works with Scotty Barnes. You know Scotty Barnes, our boy, during the offseason, has been one of the people, I guess, over the past few years that have helped Scotty develop his game and become, Rookie of the Year last year and a future cornerstone of the Raptors franchise for years to come. So, sir, how are you? Thanks for joining me.
I'm doing well, man. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing well, man. Enjoying myself. It's always fun to get together with the family. I see you are very active with your kids. Some dad things. I appreciate that because I'm a father of two as well.
Yeah, for sure, man. You know how that is. I'm a new father. So my son Mars, he's 14 months. So, you know, he's just entering the walking stage. So he's all over the place exploring. So it's fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of exploring. You're going to be pretty active just with keeping up with him. I'll tell you that right now. Okay. So with Brian, we're going to look at, I guess, his role within the NBA community, because basketball community, NBA community, developing the future generations of players is obviously a skill, and it takes lots of training. And that has grown over the course of time, especially as the NBA has transitioned to a new style of basketball in the past, decade or less. And then after that, we'll get into Scotty Barnes, what he's been working on during the offseason. But first, tell the people about yourself. Like, what is your background in basketball and how did you end up here?
Yeah, so I've been playing basketball since I was about six in South Florida. I played in high school, then I got a scholarship to go to Boston University. I played there, and then I explored playing professionally for a while, but I was just one of those guys who always loved to work out, like wake up 6 a.m. on the court. So, a few parents asked me to train their kids, and then like a light bulb went off, and I've been doing that ever since.
How are you enjoying it? Still rewarding?
Yeah, it's super rewarding. You know how everyone says that, you know, if you have a job that you love, you're never working. So that's pretty much how my life is. You know, I get to play basketball with kids and NBA players as a profession. So it's awesome.
How has your philosophy when it comes to training basketball players, whether they're guards or projected to be? I mean, some of them are really small kids, so who knows? But centers, whatever the case is, how has your philosophy changed from day one to now? Has your approach to skill development changed, or the areas that you focus on?
I've always been like a ball handling guy, so. Like when I first started like 10 years ago, that was like when, like, you know, small ball was kind of coming in a sense. So we were kind of like ahead of kind of the trend of like doing a lot of ball handling drills and different things like that. So it hasn't really changed much. I've just learned a lot more from seeing like so many different players. So it's pretty much the same, just focusing on ball handling, because there's so much space on the court now that, you know, everyone needs to be able to handle the ball and score and take their man one-on-one and shoot the basketball. So it's been pretty consistent. But of course, like as you grow older, you learn different things. And as you work with different players, especially like the better players from the NBA, you start to learn a little bit, pick up on things after having conversations with them. So it's evolved, but it's pretty much the foundation is stayed the same.
Who have you worked out with over the years? Are there some like notable names outside of, I guess, you know, Scotty Barnes?
Yeah, so I've spent some time with Anthony Davis. I spent time with Seth Curry. I spent a little bit of time with DeMar DeRozan. So a lot of that's through my partner. He's out in L.A., so he trains a lot of the guys who are out in L.A. So I've had the experience of training with those guys and like the Morris twins, different guys like that.
With Anthony Davis, it's goes to my next question, because the role of the big man has changed dramatically. You know, you think of the older days, Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaquille O'Neal, go down the list of some of the greats that have been in the game and how dominant they have been in a different style of basketball. But nowadays you got a Joel Embiid and you got a Nikola Jokic and a few other guys. But other than a few of the elite ones who are just so unstoppable, you have to, you know, send double coverages at them, or their skill set is so versatile that they're never going to be like a liability on the defensive end, like some other guys who may have not be in the league anymore. What has changed about the role of the traditional big? And I guess, how are you helping some of the guys that come into you, like an Anthony Davis, for instance, how are you helping them acclimate to the way the NBA has changed over the years?
Just being able to, one of the most important things that we want to do is that we just want everyone to be able to rebound the ball and push it. You know, if you guys could do that, and we have our guards, you know, catching the ball a little bit higher on the floor, that makes everything faster and makes everything better. So just getting them more comfortable with handling the ball, even so something small like dribble handoffs, you know, taking advantage of those things in those situations, like, you just have to handle the ball so much because you're asked to be a decision maker. And most of the time, like, the big guys are asked to handle the ball so they can get into different actions with, you know, like I said, like dribble handoffs, like different things like that. So just getting them really comfortable with the ball and then slowly expanding their game from, you know, where we may be playing at 20 feet and then try to move them out to like 25 feet. Yeah. So just getting them able to break down their man. And then, you know, if all five players can handle the ball, that's going to cut down on turnovers. That's just going to make your assists go up higher. Everybody's going to be sharing the ball, you know, kind of like how like the Raptors play, you know, like everybody's handling the ball. So it's kind of hard to like, you know, if you stop this guy from handling the ball, like, you know, back in the 90s, like the team would be destroyed, you know. But now, like, oh, you want to take Fred away? Okay, Scotty's going to bring it up. You want to take Scotty away, or Pascal's going to bring it up? You know, and that's kind of – and that's why Masai is such a visionary, because he's like – you know, like he's building the team to where it's kind of going. You know, like if you have five, six, nine guys on the floor and you switch everything and they, all of them can handle the ball and shoot, like it's going to be hard, you know what I mean, to beat those type of teams.
I want to get back to that in a second, because you touched on something that was interesting. But staying on big men, what is the toughest part for big men when it comes to trying to develop their ball handling skills?
It's their footwork. You know, the guard footwork and the, you know, behind, back to the basket drop step footwork that they've learned, you know, all their life, is totally different. You know, and they, a lot of them have heavier feet because they're just such bigger guys. And, you know, you just want to give them the ability to go to one spot and then change directions first, you know. And once you're able to do that, you just build upon that. But I think the hardest thing is just the footwork of it, because the footwork is totally different. And they're, you know, growing up, like some of these guys are just used to always having their back to their defender, that whenever they feel pressure, they want to turn their back, you know what I mean, as opposed to doing a move to counter that and go the other direction. So you know, footwork and then just getting them used to playing face up against their defenders, probably the most challenging things when you're facing, when you're training those guys.
Scary for those big guys to have to face up against some of these smaller players, right? It's a whole new ball game when you got to face up against someone. If you were Masai Ujiri, Bobby Webster, and Nick Nurse, and after this last Raptor season, where they, it was essentially an experiment season, they wanted to see what they had, what would be your takeaways in terms of like the things that really worked and things that you thought that we probably have to develop these skills in some of our players?
I think it was a successful season. I think, you know, the front office and the coaching staff are, you know, top three in the league. Just to, they just really think outside of the box, and they just really push player development. And, you know, you see, sometimes you see guys on different teams, they have roles. Like, you're a shooter, you're a rebounder, you're this. Like, you know, the Raptors, they kind of – everyone plays every role. Everybody's required to defend. Everybody has to shoot the ball. Everybody has to handle the ball and different things like that. So there's a lot of freedom that they give their guys. I think it worked well. I think that some guy, like some, the team just, you know, some, you only have like two or three experienced players. So a lot of those guys were inexperienced and just, you know, late game situations. I think I said last week that, you know, there were like 10 games that I watched that they could have won like easily. And they just, you know, it just didn't work out for them. And that just comes with experience. And that just comes with like those guys, specifically like the younger guys, just learning how to, you know, close out games, getting defensive stops, taking good shots in the right time. You know, because with that freedom, then, you know, times when it's 2 minutes in the game, you just have to adjust like your way. You may have to get the best shot, you know what I mean, instead of taking that first open shot. So a lot of it is just a learning curve with those guys learning how to play. I think they've done a good job of addressing like one of their issues with their bench, you know what I mean? And that's gonna help, you know, like Pascal, Fred and Scotty and OG, like not having to play so many minutes, you know what I mean? So they'll be able to finish the games out even stronger. So I think, I mean, those guys know what they're doing, you know what I mean? So like,
yeah, I got you.
Those guys, but I just think a lot of it's just going to come with like experience and just, you know, playing together. You know, you threw Pascal in there like a quarter, like a third of a season, you know what I mean? He missed, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And then they had to learn how to play with Pascal. And so, I think when they've been, you know, they do a good job of playing together all summer and just they have a great, you know, core. So I think they'll be even better this year.
Mm. I saw Pascal and Scotty were both at the Rico Hines run the other day. Still waiting on the footage to come out, Rico. Not sure what's taking so long, but we're all very desperate to see.
I saw a couple clips.
Yeah, a teaser. I want the full 35 minutes or whatever it's going to be. That's what I want to watch. I want to watch that. I'm starving here for NBA basketball. So I will take some workouts and I will take, even if it is just players making shots constantly, I'll take it. Right. I just want something. The last week, I believe it was Aaron Rose who you spoke to. So similar subjects with what we're going to talk to you about Scotty Barnes and what you've been working on with him. If you guys want to check out that stuff, Aaron Rose does a great job. So go ahead and check it out as well. But to start with you and Scotty, when did you guys meet each other and how did you kind of get to this stage where you're helping him develop his off-season skills?
I met Scotty when he was going to the seventh grade. His older brother played on my travel team. And I trained some kids who were on, they were the same organization. And I trained some kids who were on Scotty's team. And all the parents were saying, they knew like the good job that I was doing with their kids. They were just like, you got to get your hands on Scotty. You got to get your hands on Scotty. So he came to my camp and we've been working together ever since then. We started, you know, he used to come to camp all summer. And then as he started entering into high school and, you know, his game started to expand. His game needed to expand. So we started, that's when we started to work out one more like one-on-one situations and just really like cultivating his game on what player he's going to be. And I think we did that. We started that maybe his sophomore year. And that's when he started destroying. Like, I think he almost averaged a triple double in YBL just because we really honed in on his ball handling. And you know, ever since then, that's just my guy, man. He's just like, he's just the same person that he is today has been the same person he was when he was a 12-year-old kid, like the exact same kid. Like, he was the kid in camp, like the biggest kid at camp, you know, like going to play with the smallest kids, like the 6 and 7 year olds, like playing hard, like having fun with them. So he's exactly the same person who he's been all like his whole life.
And now he's on the verge of, I mean, of taking like a whole new role in the NBA. Why do you think he's been able to stay so level-headed over this many years of, you know, probably when he was like in grade 7, grade 8, grade 9, that's when you start seeing that this kid might have the skills to become an NBA player, but he's stayed level-headed. Why do you think that is?
I just think that he comes from a very humble upbringing. He's got great people around him, his mother, you know, all of his parents, his guardian, and everybody who's around him. He's got a great, great group of people who are around him. And he's still, like, when he played USA, Team USA basketball, 15U, 16U, he was on the team with like Cade Cunningham, like all of those guys got like most of the pub, you know, like he was the guy, like the sixth man off the bench who would get like 8 points, eight rebounds, four assists and stuff like that. So he never, and then when he was in high school, he played on the team with Vernon Carey, you know, like,
yeah,
he never, everyone could see that he was like a really good player, but he never like was like the guy type stuff. So he always had to work for everything that he had, and that, you know, that coupled with like his family upbringing and just like a great person that he is, that's just the way he is, you know, he's just, that's just who Scotty is. Like,
how is his basketball IQ like so vast so early on in his basketball years? I mean, there are things that he's able to do on the court in his rookie season, at least. And you're thinking like this, these are things that like 5-6 year veterans are doing, but he's already doing it. And when you talk to Aaron, you mentioned this, and like, I fully agree, is that the Raptors didn't really run plays for Scotty very often. And he was still able to put up, you know, 15 points per game just within the flow of the offense. He didn't get in the way. His jumper still needed some work. And I'm sure that's something that you worked on with him, but he was never a problem in the offense. He was always helping movement happen. He was in the right spots. Like, how does that happen?
First, like he really cares about his teammates, you know, like he really wants others to do good, and he really cares about winning. So he wants to do whatever it takes to win. But he's very intelligent. He's very smart. He's very detail oriented. Like the other day we were in the gym and I had the backboards clean. I had the backboard clean and he was like, "Did you get new backboards?" And I'm like, "What?" And then I'm like, "Nah, we had them clean." Like that's just, he's just very detail oriented, and he's always paying attention. He's always watching. He's always like, a lot of guys can't learn from other people's mistakes. You know, a lot of humans can't learn from other people's mistakes, you know? So he's able to watch something and then just learn from it. And he's very humble, like where he's going to take coaching. You're going to be able to talk to him and coach him because he wants to get better. And he watches a lot of film, like a lot of film, like during the pre-draft when we were out in Santa Barbara, like we would be in like the room just watching like all of his EYBL, like work, like his games in EYBL. Like then we'd be watching like his Florida State games. And even now, like I sent him just a breakdown of like all of his catches. So he just watches himself play basketball so much. And he's like honest with himself. Like, man, I should have took him there, or man, I gotta knock that down, man. Like,
yeah,
he's just a really honest, like, he's a really honest, hardworking person, but he's very intelligent. Like, he really understands the game. Like, a lot of times you see rookies not understand the defensive rotations. Like, that's why they can't play, because they can't grasp that concept. And if you don't grasp that concept, these guys are too good. They're gonna score, you know. So like, he's able to grasp those defensive concepts so well because he can lock in and he can really understand it. And he really like loves the game of basketball. Like, he's a basketball junkie. So,
yeah, it showed on the defensive end. I mean, offense, I just mentioned that he just has that intelligence about him, but defensively he was asked at times to be like a non-traditional five, like to be the rim protector. And there were some ups and downs with it, but even the fact that he was able to grasp the concepts at NBA speeds that he hasn't really encountered yet in his first season, I mean, that's what stuck out to me, is that he's doing things that there are players on the defensive end that they just can't, like, they can't get it, right? It takes far too many, you know, reps for them to get there, but he was doing it. And you saw the progression from, like, you know, the first 20 games, then like the next 20 games and so forth. You saw him get it more and more, like, with each game. And I wonder if, like, the film that you mentioned, that's something I've heard a lot of players talk about, but it's something that they do when they're like a few years into the league, and they say that, you know, now I'm investing in film. But Scotty was doing it right from the get-go, it seems.
Mm-hmm. And these kids are like, he grew up in Team USA, you know, like he grew up around the best players. So yeah, he grew up playing USA. He's getting like college and college and pro coaches coaching him with Team USA, you know, all the way through. And then he's like the EYBL, like that's like a little like NBA basically. Like, there's not many places where they construct a game that's like we're gonna really they really like see if you can fit in the NBA game, you know, the way that the game is played at the like as far as like even like the refs calling the play. I mean the refs calling like different fouls, the how physical it is. And then they have such access to all of their film all the time. You know what I mean? So it's like I think that these kids like who grew up in AAU now, if you're like if you lock in and you focus, like there's all the opportunities for you to be, you know, the same as Scotty. It's just a lot of people just they get hooked on like the sneakers that they're giving you or like different things like that are not really like taking advantage of the full like scope of what like playing basketball at a very high level from like eighth grade to senior, you know, in high school, like that they give you. So and I think Florida State did an amazing job there. They're defensive minded, so he learned a lot of the concepts with them. So like Leonard Hamilton does a great job, and they force him to, you know, to learn a lot, and they put a lot on his shoulders like from day one. So kudos to them as well.
What motivates Scotty, in your from your perspective? What motivates him? What keeps him? What keeps his engine going? And it seems like that engine's been going since like he was in grade eight. Like, why is he wired this way?
I mean, some people are just born like that. And some people, like, you know, life teaches you, like life's taught them over and over. Like, if you continue to work, you know, you're going to experience success. Hmm. So it's just a habit on, like, you don't have to tell them to work. You don't have to tell them to go, like, Scotty, you got to work out this time, or you got to do this, you got to do that. It's just, he's just a pro, you know, like, he's like, some people are just like, are gifted in that space where they always want to get better and they expect a lot out of themselves and they want to be great. And I think he wants to be great and he wants to take care of his family. So he sees that this is a means that he can do it.
Yeah.
And he really just loves the game of basketball, you know, like he like loves, like he, if it wasn't, you know, if it wouldn't get crazy, he'd probably be going to LA Fitness or 24 Hour Fitness, you know, playing in the open runs. That's just, you know, that's just who he is. So like, he just loves the game of basketball, and he really wants to see how good he can really be, and he's like hungry for that greatness, you know. So
you just see him at LA Fitness with like the 4 6-footers, and he's like, "All right, guys, let's go. We got this. Let's get out there and get it done."
Picking up guys, full court.
Yeah, exactly. Collectively. That's jokes. I mean, it's a great quality of his. I would imagine some of this contributed to why he was able to win Rookie of the Year this past year, which I believe you kind of sort of felt like was a real possibility, right?
Yeah, why? For sure. just because of his body is and his body is built for the NBA game, so he's gonna be able to endure like the 82 games like season like different than those other guys because he's just a physically gifted human being, you know, like
right.
And then I talked to the guys at P3, that's where he worked out in Santa Barbara, and I was talking to like the owner of P3, and he's just like they have charts on who they compare. Like they have like all the NBA players who they can compare you to, like how you jump and all that stuff. And they compared him to Kawhi Leonard, you know, like physically. So, you know, they said that he can take like working out 3 times a day just because his body is just physically like strong like that. So I knew that he'd be able to get through the season. And I knew that mentally he would be able to be focused and not worry about like going out or, you know, taking care of his body and different things like that because he had a team around him. And then I knew he was way better than what people thought he was. Like, I know he was way, way better than he like, if he would have had a better, like, I feel like if he would have had a better season at Florida State, he probably could have been considered as the number one draft pick. He's just that talented. And he does so much for the team. So, I just knew, you know, I just believe in him as a person. I believe in him. Like when he sets a goal, he gets it. And I knew he was underrated going into the draft. Like, and so I knew that he would physically and mentally be able to endure like the NBA season. And then I knew the Raptors would put him in position to be successful, because they don't really. They I knew they would do a good job of developing him, like on the court. And I knew that he would be fine. That's exactly where we wanted to be at. Like, we wanted to go to.
No kidding. He was a Raptor. I mean, on draft day when he was drafted by the Raptors, and the way he danced and open gym, Raptors open gym. I'm not sure if you know, you probably know Raptors open gym, right? That, yeah. And the footage of.
I watched.
Yeah, man. I mean, hey, it's high quality stuff. The people there are terrific at what they do. And then the coinciding camera of Masai and Nick Nurse reacting to Scottie dancing before he got on stage and all that kind of stuff. You're like, man, this is like a guy that is just embracing being a Raptor. And then on some of the scrum calls afterwards, after he was drafted, one, like, he got a workout in the night that he was drafted, I believe. And then secondly,
the next morning, I was there.
Yeah, there you go. And then secondly, like, all he talked about was how cool it was to be a Raptor and like the culture that they have. And he was an instant fit, and Masai got a great big hug from him at some point during the pre-draft process. And they started to understand that this guy is just a fun loving teddy bear who has unbelievable focus and intensity on the court. Instant fit with the Raptors. How tall is he? Do you know how tall he is? I've heard 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". Like, I don't know.
I don't know exactly how tall he is, because I mean, I'm like 5'9", but so it's like everybody looks big to me. But I don't know how tall he is. Like, I heard that they think that he's grown. He might have. Hopefully, but.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He looks bigger than he did last year. So he could have grown. Yeah, I don't know how tall he is.
I saw that he did add on a few more pounds, 10 to 15 pounds or so. And what impressed me about his rookie season is, like you said, he withstood like the grind of that first season, and he actually got stronger as the year went on, right? Which isn't common. That's not normally how it goes. Players tend to break down as the season goes on, but he got stronger and stronger, and so did the Raptors. And then he had that late season push, rookie of the year, which ultimately got it done. Why were the extra pounds necessary for him?
I don't know. I think he's always wanted to like put on weight, but he just hasn't been able to.
Yeah.
A lot of that was his just understanding nutrition. I think a lot of the times he's asked to play against fives, you know, so he wanted to be a little bit bigger so he can you know, guard fives a little bit better.
Sure.
And I think just a natural, like, he's a 19-year-old kid. Like, he's just going to keep putting, like, he's not, like, he's so far from where he's going to be physically. Like, he's just going to progressively continue to put on weight, just because that's just how, you know, that's just how it works when you're working out and you're eating. You know what I mean? And you're freaking 6'8", 220. So,
true.
I think he'll probably cut a few pounds, like, just when the season starts. But I think he just wanted to be able to just take the physical NBA season a little bit better.
Sure. That is true. I mean, like I said earlier, he was like the rim protector at times on the floor with their starting lineup. You got Pascal at the four, Scottie's at the five, OG, Gary Trent, Fred. So he is the de facto five in most cases, if there's no switching and stuff like that happening. So I get it. Grinding against some of those big dudes like Jokic, Embiid, and so forth, man, it's not for the weak down there in the post. That's no question about that. What were the things after his rookie season that you thought he could use some help, tweaks, upgrades on with his game, even though, I mean, it was such an exceptional first season, but obviously I'm sure Scottie wants to get better too.
The natural progression of him is he just has to continue to develop an identity on an offensive end in the half court, you know, in the open floor or like fat and secondary or fast break situations. Like he's fine, you know, he's gonna make the right decision. He's gonna, you know, get to the basket easily. But when it's like half court, we just wanted to continue to give him an identity on like when you're in different situations or different actions, like you like to do this or you like to do that. Like his rookie year, he was just out there playing, you know, he was just out there figuring it out on the growth. So we just want to continue to just develop his game and give him like his game more of an identity to like, you know, like this guy is going trying to look for the mid-range or he's looking to shoot like, you know, threes off the dribble or whatever it may be for certain guys. I don't think Scotty has that yet. So, we just wanted to continue to just develop that. Obviously, like work on his ball handling. I think he could get downhill a lot more. I think the extra, like him getting bigger and him handling the ball a lot better is gonna help him get downhill, get in the paint, and being able to finish. And then of course, you know, shooting the ball. In all different areas, as far as like being a floor spacer, shooting off the dribble, late shot clock, situations, and then you know giving us some turnaround, you know, turnaround jump shots in the post and some mid-range post ups like that too. So, just making them more well-rounded, you know, like being able to score different situations and being able to, you know, just bring all of his percentages up a little bit, which will. You know, like it's not like he's gonna be asked to, they're gonna give him like 10 more shots a game. You know, that's not really like, although I would love that, like that's not what's gonna happen with the team. So we have to, you know, make him just a better at, you know, those 12 to 15 shots that you're gonna get. Let's just make you more efficient in those spots. So, you know, you can still help the team and not really take away from any other guys like that. So
It's the beauty of the Raptors starting lineup is that they have five guys who could legitimately, you know, put up 25 points on any given night. And teams just have to make a decision like, where do you want it to come from? It could come from OG, it could come from Scotty, it could come from Gary, and so forth. That's why it's such a unique combination of skill. When it does come to his face-up game, because I mean the handle, like I fully understand. Like I was looking at some highlights of him a few days ago, and he does have this like pull-up jumper that he uses out of his dribble combinations that has some weight to it, that has like some actual like legs, and it seems like something that he's going to be able to use. How do you develop ball handling skills for someone of his skill set? Because I think with some larger guys, you know, I think with Pascal Siakam, for instance, like. He was worked on, you know, getting lower to the ground, for instance, right? Because he is so high above, and to avoid turnovers and things like that, he's just had to make some adjustments. So how do you do something like that with a body composition of a Scotty Barnes?
I think like Scotty didn't really have Scotty's issue with ball handling really isn't like handling a ball or footwork. It's just being able to read, like make different reads, you know, like just if someone is guarding me this way and I do this combination, like when should I go? Like in different things like that. So I don't think his was like actually handling the ball. It's just getting more. It's just, it, his isn't more like skill development. It's more just like player development where you're
I see.
just Scotty. If you go between cross and he switches his foot like feet like this, like you can attack this gap or you can attack that gap. So I mean it wasn't hard because I you know I've like we've been working together for a long time, so it's just our natural progression on where we're going with it. So like a lot of it's just a conversation, like also getting it to feel really well. So I don't know. That's a tough question for me to answer.
No, I got you. I hear what you're saying. Because he's already able to, you know, dribble the length of the court in transition. He's able to make some crossovers, and then he's able to dunk on your head. So he already is very skilled as a ball handler. Is it like film work? Do you show him cases where maybe, you know, he could have made this read, could have made that read? Then he's like, oh, okay, because he is such a in-tune basketball mind, he's able to figure things out.
And I mean, it's a lot of like on court, like talking through the move, like talking through, like, you know, like we're not just doing this move just because you can dribble the ball. We're just like trying to set him up. We're playing chess a little bit, you know, just like teaching him how to play chess with his defender and
I
like break
see.
down his defender. And it's harder with him because he sees so many different types of defenders. You know, like
Yeah.
he sees centers, he sees little guards. So that's why that's why his development is on the offensive end is it has to be like patient and we have to continue to develop him slowly because he it's so many areas that we have to work on. Like we don't
Yeah.
have to just work on the ball screen. Sometimes he's setting the screen, sometimes he's doing the handoff, sometimes he's getting the handoff, sometimes he's spacing the floor, sometimes he's handling, you know, so he has the ball in so many different spaces that we really have to kind of identify like what are you gonna do on this defender? Like if they switch, what are you looking for? How are they gonna guard you and things like that? So
Gotcha. I've always found Jimmy Butler is a person who dribbles with purpose. You know what I mean? Like he's always luring you into his next move and baiting you in so he can like do whatever Jimmy Butler does. Like he's one of my favorite players in the NBA right now. Everything's done with purpose and it's always very fast. You know, there's no wasted dribbles with him.
right, I agree.
Why does Scottie have such a nice touch? Why does he have such a nice
On the
touch around
rim.
the, yeah, like he shot 71% at the rim this season. And for instance, like a Pascal Siakam, different kinds of shots, obviously, but he was at 65%. So Scottie being at 71, again, at this stage, with what he dealt with in his first season, different players guarding him, different kind of rim contests, different kind of body structures. Obviously, if Rudy Gobert is barreling down on you, that's an intimidating figure to have to score on. Like, what is it about Scottie that makes his touch around the rim already at a pretty substantial rate at
Oh,
this
that's
point?
something that he's worked on for a long time, like little
Yeah.
floaters in the lane, like that's how he normally like that's how he scores a lot, like those floaters. And that's something that we do like in every session. Even when he's with the Raptors, he's making sure he finishes his workout with his touches right and left hand. I mean, they did an amazing job of developing his left hand throughout the season.
Oh,
Now he
yeah.
shot a couple like left-handed hooks like from like 10 feet, which is incredible. You know, so like I mean, he works on it. He works on it. He's got a soft touch. I mean, he's got huge hands, and he's got a really long arm. So he's able to, you know, shoot it the ball at different angles that most guys can't.
Right.
So I mean, that's like he's physically able to make like he's physically able to make different shots that most people can't. And then he really works on it.
That game against the Brooklyn, where he had that like stretch against Kevin Durant, and he was hitting like these like fadeaway shots, and he was hitting pull-up threes, and then this was early in the season, I believe, and that was the first time we saw Scottie kind of have like a stretch where he just took over, and it was so unique because of the way he did it, and he was hitting shots that we just haven't seen him like A, take and B, make. Is that a case of him just being in a flow, or is it like he is now has an opportunity to kind of go out there and just have a little bit of a, I guess, experiment time, so to speak, where he's able to take shots that he's typically, you know, practicing anyways?
Yeah, I think that's just him being competitive. You know, like he's in the, you know, he's playing against one of the best players in the world, and
Yeah.
he knows that. So he's just really trying to be competitive, and you know, really wants to beat Kevin Durant. You've seen something similar when he played against the Lakers and
Yeah.
LeBron James. You know, like
Yeah.
he gets up for those type of games,
Sure.
and like I said earlier, like he's just so free flowing and. And just he's just really out there, just really playing the game. So, you know, that's why you see things like, and everybody's like shocked. Oh my God, I can't believe he's doing that. But he's just really out there, just playing ball. So.
Yeah. When it comes to his jumper, I did a video for people who maybe not have seen it. It's on YouTube, and I was just looking at essentially clips that you provided on your Instagram of what may be a little bit different about Scottie Barnes's jumper heading into next season. And I had some observations, but obviously you're the expert in this area, more so than I am. What are some of the tweaks that you made? Because I think the Raptors also made some tweaks heading into his rookie season, and then it seems like there have been a few more tweaks during the offseason too.
I think the Raptors really like keying in on you know, Nick Nurse is like one of the freaking best shooting. He's got a book on shooting. So,
Night school with Nick Nurse, shooting school at night with Nick Nurse. It's a common thing up here.
But I think they got him to really engage his lower half, like engage his legs into his shots and his hips, and then they moved it a little bit to the right side. I mean, I don't tweak it a lot. I just work on, you know, he broke his wrist when he was he broke his wrist, I think, when he was in 9th or 10th grade, and he still doesn't have like the flexibility in his wrist. So I really like work on with the heavy ball of him like getting that like action of flicking his wrist. And a lot of it's just him getting the feel for it. You know, once he gets the feel for it, then he'll get it. And you know, like we don't make like huge tweaks because I don't want to mess up. You know, I respect Nick Nurse, like, and what he's doing with this. So I just kind of like, I mean, you know, you can see the differences, and I see it, and I just try to kind of reinforce what he's doing, make sure he's flicking his wrist every single time, and using his middle index finger to follow the fit. Like follow through every single time.
Sure.
I mean, his hands are huge, so you know it's hard for him to, you know, get a good feel for the ball every single time. But I think he's working hard at it. And a lot of it's just identifying like what shots, you know, in the flow of the game, like being ready to shoot the ball, as far as like mentally, like knowing that, like, you know, Pascal's a strong left-hand driver and he's coming to my side, so I probably have a shot, so I need to be ready to shoot the ball. So that's some of it. You know, of course a lot of it is physically, and then you know, the main thing is just getting reps and reps and reps and reps and reps and reps and reps. So you know, that's what we've been doing, and you know, he's made huge progress with it, and I think that he's going to continue to make the same progress.
Pascal talked about that during the season when he was asked about his 3-point shot and why. I think he was shooting around 33% or something like that at the time. And they asked, you know, he had a small turnaround for like 4 or 5 games. And he was asked, you know, what's the difference? And he's like, essentially, I'm just ready to shoot. Like, I'm just expecting the ball to come my way. And my arms are ready. And my mentality is there that, you know, when the ball comes to me, I'm ready to go. Positionally, I'm sound. My hands are ready. And I'm just ready to release. I mean, it seems kind of simplistic, but I would imagine that's probably hard to do during the game, or to develop that skill without, you know, constant reps, because you only get those kind of reps when you're like in a half court offense and the shot clock's going down and the ball is passed to you, you know?
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's, I mean, it's hard. Most of these guys have like lived their whole life with them being the best player on the court, always having a ball in their hand. So when they get to a space like this where they have to play off the ball, like sometimes it's difficult for them to adjust.
Heading into next season as we wrap up the pod, and thank you so much for your time, like the wealth of knowledge, great basketball mind on your end. What did Scotty want to get better at going into next season? And I guess what are some, like, can't probably reveal everything, but like what are some new things that a fan might see from Scotty that might make them go, oh, he can do that now. Wow. Look at Scotty go.
I think just having just more concepts of his game, you know, like he has A that he can do, and if he doesn't do A, then he'll do B, which goes along with A,
I
and it's
see.
kind of like him able to like play the game within the game a little bit more. I think they'll see that. I think he'll be a lot more aggressive offensively. He's the type of person who's gonna grow when he's put in situations, because he's just, I mean, that's just how he is. You put him wherever, he's gonna get better, and he's just gonna keep getting better. So I think they'll see him being able to make better plays like on an offensive end. And I think he'll be able to be a lot more aggressive. You know, sometimes he looked timid on the offensive end, like, oh, like a lot of times on his catches, it looked like, oh shoot, they gave me the ball. Or like, oh shoot, I got the, you know, like, and then he's forced it, and it looks kind of like weird on, like, you know, like you're not really being aggressive, but you're kind of being aggressive. I think, because he's more comfortable with his role, he's more comfortable with who he is as a basketball player, and he's really worked to kind of develop his skills, I think he'll be a lot more comfortable on the offensive end. And then you're going to see a lot more exciting plays. You know, you're going to see a lot more, you know, like alley-oops to guys that nobody needs to play.
Okay.
And you're going to see a lot more because okay. he'll be able to see and read the floor a lot better because he's been in it so much and he's developing the skills. And I think that his percentages are going to go up across the board. You know, he'll be a better free throw shooter. He'll be a better three-point shooter. And I mean, it's hard to shoot better from the field than what he shot, you know, this year, but I think he'll improve in that as well. And I think that he'll even be a better defender. Because I just think that he'll be able to, he's able to just understand like what he, like last year's, like he didn't really know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But then he was like, oh, it's not as hard as I thought it would be. You know, like that's like his thing. It's not as hard as I thought it would be. But now I feel like, he'll be a lot more comfortable. And when he's really comfortable, you're going to see a lot more out of Scotty because even you guys, like everybody thinks that he's good. He's still way better than everybody thinks he is. Way better, way better, way better. Like he's special. I'll make another proclamation. He's a special, special, special talent, special talent. I ain't gonna get myself in trouble, but he's a special talent, like an infectious personality. That's a special talent. How Magic Johnson was. That's the best comparison that you can make for him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Just a special person who can make everybody better. He lights up the room. Like that's who he is.
If he was on a different team, this is very much a guess, all right? But and he already won Rookie of the Year, so clearly he got the NBA recognition that he rightly deserved. If he was on a team that, say, was like out of the playoff race, you know, early years of their development plan, and he wasn't on a team that was like the Toronto Raptors, who ended up, you know, being fourth and had higher aspirations, like what could Scotty have done in terms of like a points per game total, rebounds, assists, if he was just able to have the ball in his hands more? Now, granted, like I think Scotty, over everything, he wants winning. He wants to see his teammates do well and all that kind of stuff. But it's kind of a fun thing to think about, like, because like you said, I mean, there is so much more there. And we didn't even see everything he had in his rookie season, let alone going into his sophomore year. Like, could he have been like a 20 and 10 and 5 kind of guy on a different team?
I mean, I think so. But you might have not had the shooting percentages might have been lower, you know, like he probably would have had more shots, but his shooting percentages probably would have been lower. But I think his impact on the game would have, I feel like the more he has the ball in his hands, the better you're going to be, just because you want your superstars to be, I mean, not your stars, but you want the people who are having the ball to be unselfish, and you want them to be a mismatch problem, you know, and that's exactly what he is. He's super unselfish, wants to see the other guy make shots, just as happy when he's making assists as when he's scoring. But then he can also score at a higher rate. So I think you probably would have seen it more. I think the Raptors are going to see a lot of it this year too. And I think that he's going to have a great year. And I think he just has to finish up the summer strong. And I think he's had a great summer. He's had a great rookie year, a great summer, and he's just going to continue to progressively get better and better. And I mean, if you look at it every day, you may not see it, but when you like back up from it and you look over a course of a year, you're going to be like, oh shoot, he got better in every area. Uh-huh. And he's just going to continue to get better in every area. So.
I think what one thing the Raptors did do for him is, like you had said, he was getting the ball in so many different spots and he was being guarded by so many different player types, archetypes. And so having to read and react so quickly to different kinds of players, it's kind of like he was being treated in a superstar way, because typically when you have a superstar player, or just like a high usage player, because when you get those players, teams just throw everything at them, right? Like, look at Pascal Siakam. I can't believe the kind of defenses that he was thrown from some of the opposition. And with Scotty, he wasn't getting the ball in the same spots like most players would. It was everywhere. It was high post, it was low post, it was corners, and he had to just figure out ways to create. So that did probably give him a bigger sample size than some other players in what he had to work on and what he could, you know, apply to his offseason regimen with you. So I think in that way, the Raptors were very good for him. They kind of threw him out there and said, go figure it out from everywhere on the court, mm-hmm. and let's see how you sink or swim. And for the most part, he swam and he started doing laps.
I'm gonna use that one. That's good.
Yeah, you can use that. It's all good. Anything else you want to shout out before we wrap this up? Anything you got coming up? Anything that you want people to know about?
I just want to. I just want to show appreciation on as far as like how, you know, the Raptors community and the whole country of Canada and city of Toronto has embraced them so early on and just really kind of like took them in and just been like, you know, even though a lot of people didn't think that it was a good pick, but
and he took note of that too, didn't he?
I'm just appreciative of him being in Toronto, him being with a great organization, having a great coach, great GM, great president, you know, great fans, you know, great media people, you know, everybody's super positive and it's really helping him, you know, grow at an easy pace where he doesn't have to do too much. You know, he's not overcome with, you know, too much responsibility, and he's able to, you know, be himself and to grow at a steady pace. So I'm appreciative of that. And I'm just excited for him, man. I'm going to spend a lot more time in Toronto and just continue to just, you know, help him be the best person that he can be. And again, it just means so much to me, like being his kind of like big brother, to see like nobody has to worry about him. Like he's in like the safest place. Like he's out on the street riding freaking scooter and people are just like, you know, nobody's bothering him. Really.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's just like the perfect place where he could be on and off the basketball court. So I'm just excited. I'm just excited from where it's going to look like 3, 5, 10 years from now. So, yeah. It's exciting. You know, I'm just as excited this year as I'm probably more excited than I was like last year. So I can't wait for the season to start, just like how you are. I feel the same way.
And I'm getting giddy about this Raptors team. Just thinking about, I mean, they have such a unique style of basketball, and all they really need to me is they just need some like shooting progression. So that way the half court offense opens up a little bit. And I would imagine that they're all going to come back and they're going to be better shooters. And then you add in like their defensive intensity and how good they are on that end. Like you got yourself a really interesting team. I'm not going to project at least yet until I see the final roster and maybe we get a few weeks into the season, but everyone here is very excited about the Raptors and we're all very excited about Scotty Barnes. Special player, special talent, special human being. In some ways, you know, he was the perfect fit for the Raptors and the Raptors were a perfect fit for him. So thank you everyone for listening. Brian, again.
Thank you so much, man.
Appreciate you. Everyone, have yourself a good day. Talk to you later.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.